Welcome back to the Becoming a Man of God mini course. Today we're going to talk about a man, and specifically masculinity connected to a man. There's been a lot of confusion recently in the world, in philosophy departments, in social sciences department like sociology and psychology, as to what is masculinity. In fact, you can look at the Wikipedia definition. Masculinity, also called manhood or manliness, is a set of attributes, behaviors, and roles associated with men and boys. Although masculinity is socially constructed, research indicates that some behaviors considered masculine are biologically influenced. What we notice there is that insertion, socially constructed. This means that masculinity does not come out of the biology of a man, a set of values that comes out of their very DNA, but that it is a socially constructed set of values. And many of these authors try to point out how in the history of the world, masculinity was exhibited by women at certain periods of time. Now, a lot of this is debate and conjecture. This is a big debate nowadays, and I would say that we live in an age that attacks male masculinity. Douglas Murray, an atheist gay man, wrote a philosophy book that I would call it, called The Madness of Crowds. And I'm going to quote from this book. Now again, he is not a Christian, but I wanted you to see what he believes about some of these things, and he talks about the attack on male masculinity. And, you know, he has various quotes in the book, and I actually recommend that Christians read this book. But anyway, he writes, "Ignoring a fair amount of evidence to the contrary and showing no compunction about essentializing or making generalizations about the male half of the species, this author," or this writer, French, he's quoting, "declares that the only ground of male solidarity is opposition to women. She sees the demands of feminists as equally straightforward. The challenge to patriarchy by feminists is simply a demand to be treated as human beings with rights, including the demand that men not feel free to beat, rape, mutilate, and kill them. What kind of monster would oppose that? And who are the members of this patriarchy who feel free to beat, rape, mutilate, and kill women?" In French's argument, from every direction, the problem is men. Every time women make an advance, men can be found mustering all their forces to defeat this challenge. Male violence towards women is not an accident or a byproduct of the same of some other factor, let alone many potential factors. Rather, it is the case that all male violence toward women is part of a concerted campaign that includes beating, imprisonment, mutilation, torture, starvation, rape, and murder. The question then becomes, is masculinity harmful, especially male masculinity? And one more quote from Douglas Murray here. "The results can be seen in everyday news. It's behind the news that the American Psychological Association feels the need to advise members on how to train harmful traditional masculinity out of men and boys." What we see here is a debate about male masculinity. And there's this move away from traditional masculinity. So when they say traditional masculinity, what they're talking about is the Bible's view of masculinity. This is how the Bible says masculinity was created. First of all, God creates a man. Genesis 2:7-9, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And God gave the man something to do. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So when God created male and female, he created them with differences. In fact, that's the biblical account. Before the fall of humanity, masculinity and femininity were rooted in the very structure of creation. Now, we see the Bible narrative that there was a fall, and did then sin create new structures? So we know there's a pre-fall structure, but we also know there's a post-fall. Like, what happened to Adam and Eve? You know, everything got mixed up and messed up. But here's the thing that Christians believe, that the design put in place is still the most reproducible pattern. Jesus reflected that in talking about marriage. In Matthew 19, verse 8, Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. So what Jesus is doing is he's interpreting pre-fall and post-fall reality. The Pharisees are trying to get him to stumble, so they used the topic of divorce and said, you know, Moses permitted a divorce, and they were trying to trick him into somehow saying something that they would use against him. What Jesus did is he goes to the pre-fall state, and he said, marriage is between one man and one woman. A man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That's the most reproducible. And, oh, about divorce, yes, Moses gave the writ of divorce because of the hardness of hearts, sin. And that's still the case today. Divorce is quite regular, and not regular, it's quite common today. But we would not say that you go into a marriage to get divorced. We go back to the creation itself. It's a lifelong relationship. The same is true about male and female, about masculinity and femininity. There is something rooted in the beauty of creation. And yes, there is a fall. Now, somebody will say to me, well, hold on. Are you saying that all masculine traits men only can do, all feminine traits females only can do? No, I'm not saying that. In fact, I am just trying to say that masculinity is good, and it's good that it's connected to men. Being male is a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord, your family, and your community. But it is not a control thing. God raises up women leaders that exhibit traditional masculine qualities. In Judges 4, verse 4, for instance, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. So when talking about masculine behavior like headship or leadership, it's not authority headship that we're going to be talking about in this class. It's servant headship. It's that place where the stronger serves the younger. This class is about becoming a man of God. This class is not about solving every problem that the post-fall world introduces. But still, what do we want for our young men, our boys, as they grow up? What do we want from you and me? We want us to stand up and live in the strength that God has given us to serve others. We are not against women. Some of these authors today feel like men are against women and we just want to win and control and rape and pillage and the women are the victims. No. The Christian man is a servant man. One of the things we talked about a lot at Christian Leaders Institute and the college is the word deacon, minister. That ultimately, our masculinity is about service. So as we proceed on in this mini course, we are going to look at these further topics as we explore servant, minister, masculinity, godliness. We're going to look at what does it mean to be a provider, a protector, husbandness worldview, fatherness worldview. I made those words up, by the way. Minister, influencer. So that's godliness, provider, protector, husbandness worldview, fatherness worldview, minister, and influencer. Martin Luther King, as he gave his famous speech, talked about how that someone in a world that people are not judged, that men, women, and children are not judged by the color of their skin, which, by the way, is very much genetically put together, but instead are judged by the content of their character. In many ways, we get that even here. And we celebrate that God made a man, that God made you. But just because you're genetically a man does not mean that your masculinity can just be what your masculinity is because your brain type goes this way and all that. It really is about your content of your character. So that's what this class is about, becoming, being transformed not only into a biological man or being born as a biological man, but becoming a man of character, a man of influence, a godly man. You know, my prayer throughout this mini course is that men of God are raised up to influence the world in love, to glorify God, to spread Christianity, a Christianity that's biblical and alive and vibrant. May God bless you as you continue becoming a man of God.